This message, entitled The Lying Mouth, from Proverbs chapter 12, verse 22, was preached at Winchester Reformed Presbyterian Church in Winchester, Kansas. For more information, visit us at winchesterrp.com.
Well, if you have your Bibles with you, please turn with me to the book of Proverbs. Proverbs chapter 12 this evening. Our focus will be on the 22nd verse, but I'll begin reading in verse 17, but we will keep ourselves to the 22nd verse. Please follow along as I read God's word. Proverbs chapter 12, beginning in verse 17. Whoever speaks the truth gives honest evidence, but a false witness utters deceit. There is one whose rash words are like sword thrusts, but the tongue of the wise brings healing. Truthful lips endure forever, but a lying tongue is but for a moment. Deceit is in the heart of those who devise evil, but those who plan peace have joy. No ill befalls the righteous, but the wicked are filled with trouble. Lying lips are an abomination to the Lord, but those who act faithfully are his delight. Let's bow in another word of prayer. Heavenly Father, as we come to your word tonight, we pray that through this simple and ordinary means of preaching, that you would indeed begin and continue to conform us to the image of Jesus Christ. Lord, we know the world will scoff and mock at such a thing as the preaching of the word, but we know that in it your power is revealed as you carry us from one degree of glory to another. And so meet with us this evening through this word and order our steps rightly. This we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, just this week, I saw a video clip that was surfacing and going around on the internet. And it was from one of those made-for-TV real-life court shows where people, for whatever reason, decide that they want to bring their complaints to the legal system and they're going to do it on national television. I'm not one that normally watches those types of shows. They don't really entertain me that much. But it's one of those shows where the judge begins to adjudicate real cases. And the headline of this certain one, the reason I watched it, really grabbed my attention. And it was this. It was called The World's Shortest Court Case. It was only 26 seconds long. And in this particular court case, there was a young woman who was bringing another young man to court because she believed that he had stolen her wallet. And she wanted the judge to rule in her favor and make this man pay a fine to her equal to the contents of what she said he had stolen. And the judge looked at this young woman and she said, "All right, well, to begin with, why don't you tell me what was in your wallet?" And the young woman began to rattle off the things that were in her wallet. She said, "Well, there was some money in there. I think it was $50. My ID cards were in there, some gift cards, there was an earpiece, there was a calculator." And right at that point, this young man who was on trial interrupted her and he said, "Excuse me, Your Honor, I just want to clarify something. There was no earpiece in the wallet." And the entire courtroom did just that. They erupted in laughter. And the judge looked at this young man and said, "Do you understand what you have just done?" And in 26 seconds, the court case was over because this man had incriminated himself with his words. And as I watched that, I couldn't help but see the connection that that has to divine truth, to what the scriptures teach us about our own words, that our words matter. And that may seem somewhat strange to us if we don't stop to think about it, Because our words so often seem so inconsequential. What are they? Well, in one sense, our words are nothing more than a puff of wind. The vibration of vocal cords, vibrations that meet people's ear and make sounds that we discern and we understand. But in a moment, those words appear and then they're gone. We hear them for a second and then we hear them no more. But you see, Scripture puts a great significance upon the words that we speak. Our Lord and Savior taught us in Luke chapter 6, verse 45. What did he say? He said, out of the overflow of the heart, the mouth speaks. Why it has always been a great point of Christianity to order our words appropriately, because your words reveal something about your heart. Your words reveal who you really and truly are. And I wonder this evening what our words would say about us. And that's why Proverbs, this wonderfully plain and simple and practical book, in setting before us the great distinction between wisdom on the one hand and foolishness on the other, is so concerned, as we will see this week and in coming weeks, with the way that we use our mouths. We are both warned in this book against a bad use of our words, but we are also commended as to what good use of words is. And so in coming weeks, we're going to bounce between those. We're going to have one week that warns us of the danger of our words, and the following week, we will have a commendation of a good use of words, and we'll do that for the next 11 weeks. Well, this evening, we find a point of wisdom in verse 22 of chapter 12. We read these few but very simple words, lying lips are an abomination to the Lord, but those who act faithfully are his delight. And I pray, if the Spirit is willing, that we will all give our serious attention to these few simple but powerful words. Now, the first thing that I want to do tonight in preaching this to you is to situate lying into what we might call a certain category. A certain category. That will become evident what I mean by that in a moment. Now, the language of verse 22 is actually quite potent, isn't it? It uses a very powerful word. Lying lips are, and what's this powerful word? The word an abomination. Lying lips are an abomination to the Lord. Now, abomination is one of those words that probably doesn't enter into our daily vocabulary. Why? Well, because we know it's an emphatic word. We don't just throw the word abomination around about anything that we feel. We don't walk outside, and if we want a sunny day and we see a cloud begin to move in front of the sun, we don't cry, well, what an abomination that is. It is a word that often in our vocabulary is reserved for a certain context. It is reserved for a special use, and I don't think that's wrong. The word abomination is a hefty word. It is a word that even in the English vocabulary packs what we might call a punch. What does an abomination mean? What does it mean to be abominable? Well, if you look in a thesaurus, you'll see the synonyms begin to paint a graphic picture for what the word abomination means. It is that which is especially hateful, that which is especially sinful, that which is especially vile and wicked, that which is especially forbidden. Something that is an abomination is something that causes disgust. It is something that the mere sight of it causes hatred in our hearts. It causes us to be outraged. You might think in terms of the word, it's a monstrosity. An abomination, even in the English language and in the biblical language, is that which is a serious moral offense. It is that which is repulsive in its very nature. And the wise King Solomon tells us lying lips are an abomination to the Lord. Now, I'm not generally in the habit of categorizing sin, especially on a spectrum of serious sins to less serious sins. We were just speaking about that tonight in our book study. All of sin is sin, and all of sin is exceedingly sinful. All of it is serious. Nevertheless, there does seem at times that there are certain sins in the Bible that, and hear me what I mean on this, that seem set apart from others. For instance, in Proverbs chapter 6, just a few chapters before this, the Lord reminds us, he says, there are seven things that I hate. And that's the idea that I want to get across here, is this word abomination is in some ways categorizing the sin of lying as something that is absolutely morally repulsive. And I wonder tonight if you're aware of some of the other sins in Scripture that share this word. Other sins in Scripture that are called an abomination, that use this same categorization. Well, let me tell you tonight. In Ezekiel chapter 16, verse 36, the Lord tells Israel that idolatry is an abomination. To worship that which is not God as God is something that is absolutely morally repulsive. Idolatry is not an excusable sin. It's a disgusting sin. In Deuteronomy 24, verse 4, Moses reminds us that adultery is an abomination. To take one who is not your spouse, to engage in illicit activity, is a moral offense of the most serious nature. It is an abomination. In Proverbs chapter 11, verse 20, we read that pride is an abomination. Pride, which so often is at the root of all sin. Pride, that is self-righteousness and thinking of ourselves in a way that we should not, is morally repugnant in its very nature. In Proverbs chapter 6, verse 17, we read that murder is an abomination. To take the life of another unjustly. We see that, we sense that, we feel that when we turn the news on and we read of another killing, another shooting, another stabbing. And we immediately recoil from that and we look at those actions and we think, that's an abomination. And it is, because it is. To take the life of another is a moral monstrosity. In 1 Kings chapter 14, verse 24, we're told prostitution is an abomination. To sell your services in that way is a gross sin. In Leviticus chapter 18, verse 22, we're reminded in the Levitical law that homosexuality is an abomination. To do that which in itself is contrary to nature. In 2 Chronicles 28, verse 3, we read that child sacrifice is an abomination. It is something that is repulsive in its very nature. It is something that causes disgust and outrage and hatred in our hearts. Those are the kinds of sins in Scripture that are described as abominations. Idolatry and adultery and pride and murder and prostitution and homosexuality and child sacrifices. These are things that ought to repulse us. serious moral offenses that are especially wicked and vile. But I don't want you to lose sight tonight or miss the point that it is to that category, it is to the category of abominable sins that lying lips belong. Lying lips are an abomination to the Lord. Or as the king actually says to Yahweh, to the Lord God over all, lips that lie are an abomination to him. That, brothers and sisters, is the regard that Yahweh has for the lying mouth. He hates it. It is a moral outrage of the highest order. Well, secondly, this evening, let me speak to the extent of lying. So we see the category there. It's a very powerful word. Lying lips are an abomination to the Lord. Now, I want to speak about the extent of that. What does the king here, what does the wise king mean when he tells us lying lips? What does it mean to lie? We covered that a little bit last week. We've defined it before. But when we think about what it means to lie, and we're going to stick this evening to our words because that's the series, Wisdom for Our Mouths. What does it mean to speak a lie, to have lying lips? Well, what this proverb means is that to have lying lips is when our words don't reflect reality. When our words don't reflect reality, and by reality, I don't mean, like some people might mean today, a reality that is determined by us. I mean the reality that is determined by God because he is God. When our words don't reflect reality, when they don't reflect the truth, whether they swerve a little to the left or a little to the right, or whether they swerve in massive ways, whenever our words don't reflect the truth, we are lying. The Apostle John in 1 John chapter 2, verse 21 says, "No lie is of the truth." So lying lips are simply those words that we speak that do not reflect the truth. And I want to point out before we go any further this evening that when the Bible speaks of lying, it condemns lying universally. And it condemns lying without condition. And what I mean by that is you can search the scriptures and you will search them in vain to ever find the Bible or God creating an exception to our circumstances or to our situation where it may be appropriate for us to lie. This proverb does not say lying is an abomination except when you need to save face. We do not read here that lying is an abomination except when your reputation is on the line. Then it's going to be okay for you to sin. That's not what this proverb tells us. This proverb does not say lying is an abomination except if you're going to get some reward if you lie, or you're going to gain something in this life and in this world or in your workplace. Then it's okay for you to tell a lie. That's not the teaching of the Bible. The teaching of the Bible is not that lying is an abomination unless it saves you from difficulty. It doesn't say lying is an abomination unless it saves you from losing something. It doesn't say lying is an abomination except if you're in danger or you might get harmed. The Bible does not say lying is an abomination except in cases where it will make it convenient for you to avoid the consequences. It does not say lying is an abomination except when you have the opportunity to make somebody laugh. The The Bible does not tell us that lying is an abomination except when we decide to lie so that we don't hurt somebody's feelings, or because we don't want to deal with a situation, or because we don't like somebody. Everywhere and everywhere and everywhere in Scripture, lying is universally, unconditionally condemned. There are no exceptions to this. Lying lips are an abomination. And they are an abomination to the Lord. And I make this point because that's a challenging word. And because if you're anything like me, you want to instantly try to think of counterexamples. You instantly want to think about moral dilemmas where it might be okay for you to lie. Our minds are almost immediately led to those Egyptian women who hid Moses and lied to Pharaoh to save the life of this Hebrew baby. And we want to say, well, weren't they right to lie to Pharaoh? Or we begin to think, Rahab always enters this discussion. Isn't Rahab commended for her faith in the New Testament? And what did Rahab do? She lied about the spies. And so we want to conclude, well, then there must be some circumstances. There must be some situations where lying is okay. Or we begin to think of those hypothetical situations. What would we have done if Nazi soldiers had come knocking on our door and Jews were hiding in our basement and they said, do you have any Jews here? Wouldn't that be an okay situation for us to lie? Now we need to readily admit that all of those hypotheticals really have almost zero relevance to our everyday life, and that Proverbs deals with our day-to-day living, but those are the things that begin to come to our mind. And we begin to wonder, isn't it okay in some circumstances? It's a question that's somewhat hard to navigate. But for my part, as I read the Scriptures, and as I understand them, the answer stands simply as no. It is never okay to lie. Lying lips are an abomination to the Lord. Does that mean that the Lord has not, at times in history, used lies? Used deceit for his own glory and his own providence and his own wisdom? He certainly has. But because the Lord works all things to a wise and a good end, it doesn't mean that it's okay. He has revealed, and he has revealed it clearly. You don't need to jump through hoops to understand what the wise king is telling us. Lying lips are an abomination to the Lord. Its extent is always and everywhere universal. The Lord does not look down, and I say this with reverence tonight, but the Lord does not look down at our situations and our circumstances and say, oh, Kyle's really found himself in a tough spot. I think he should lie right now. Lying is everywhere and always an abomination to the Lord. Any word that you speak day in and day out, whether those are words with your husband, whether those are words with your wife, whether those are words with your parents, with your siblings, with your grandparents, with your coworkers, with your friends, with a stranger on the street, with your enemies, any word that doesn't correspond to the truth is a lie, and Proverbs teaches us it is an abomination. Lying lips are an abomination to the Lord. Well, in the third place tonight, let me speak to the contradiction of a lie. The contradiction. What I mean by that is that there are certain things that a lie, by its very nature, contradicts. There are certain things that lying automatically goes against, and we begin to see when we understand that why it is that lying is such a serious sin. The first thing that a lie contradicts, a lie is always contrary to God. God is a God of truth. The author of Hebrews tells us in Hebrews 6:18, it is impossible for God to lie. And it is impossible because in God there is no falsehood. He is a God of all truth. It is Satan in the scriptures who is defined as a liar. It is Satan in the scriptures in John 8 verse 44 that is called the father of lies. But our Father in heaven is the Father of truth. And as image bearers of God, Christians and non-Christians alike are called to reflect the truth of God even in the words that we speak. And so when we begin to lie, when we let our words be salted and saturated by lies, we are not reflecting God in heaven, but we are reflecting Satan himself. If you want to know how to be ungodly, all you need to do is lie, because lying is ungodliness. By its very nature, to lie is to be contrary to God, but it is also to be contrary to Jesus Christ. It is to be contrary to Jesus Christ. In John chapter 14, verse 6, what is it that Jesus tells his disciples? He says, I am the way, I am the truth, and I am the life. Jesus is truth personified. He is the source of all truth. He is the embodiment of truth itself. And we are called to reflect and to be conformed to his image. To be one who bears the image of Jesus Christ, who himself is truth. And so when we begin to speak lies, we are bringing disrepute upon Christ. We are not glorifying him in the way that we should. We are not being conformed to his image. Is it any wonder why we're told here that lying lips are an abomination to the Lord? They bring dishonor upon Jesus Christ. But lying lips are also contrary in a very special way to the Holy Spirit. You remember in John chapter 16, on the night of his death, Jesus is gathered there with his disciples and he begins to comfort them. And what does he say? In John 16, 13, he begins to teach them that even as he is going away and he is ascending to his Father, he says, but I will send another. And who is it that he will send? He will send his Spirit. And in John 16, verse 13, Jesus calls him the Spirit of truth. And Jesus promises that the Spirit of truth will be with his people, that he will be with us, he will be in us. The gift of the Spirit of truth is one of the greatest gifts that the Father and the Son have given to us. And it is because of him, because he takes up residence within us, because we ourselves are temples for the habitation of the Spirit of truth, that we are commanded to walk in truth. Why it is that we are commanded in 2 Thessalonians chapter 2 to love the truth, and in Ephesians 4:15 to speak the truth always in love. To lie is to contradict the Holy Spirit, who is our guarantor, who seals us in Jesus Christ. Is it any wonder why we read that lying lips are an abomination to the Lord? But lying is also contrary to love. The Apostle Paul, in that well-known chapter, 1 Corinthians 13, when he speaks about the nature of love, in 1 Corinthians 13, 6 says, love rejoices with the truth. Love rejoices with the truth. And in Proverbs 26, 28, we read, a lying tongue hates its victims. To lie to those around you, whoever they are, is to actually express hatred towards them. And to go contrary to the nature of love itself, is it any wonder why lying lips are an abomination to the Lord? But finally this evening, lying lips are contrary to the unity of the church. The Apostle Paul in Ephesians chapter 4, verse 25 says this, therefore, having put away falsehood, let each one of you speak truth with his neighbor, for we are members of one another. We are one body. We belong together. And the Apostle Paul is saying, when we do not speak truth to one another, when we do not put falsehood away, what we are doing in our lives is we are undermining what God is doing in our very midst. As he draws us together into the household of faith, as he makes us one body under the headship of Jesus Christ, as he makes us one in him, lying, what lying does when we fail to speak the truth is it begins to corrupt that. It begins to go against that. It begins to undo the very work of God in this church. Is it any wonder then why we read, lying lips are an abomination to the Lord? But those who act faithfully are his delight. In how many ways lying is opposed, it resists, it contradicts all that we are and all that we have in Jesus Christ. And we need to be reminded of that. When we order our words and when we speak to people, to be those who are speaking truth. Because only in speaking truth will we reflect the glory of God. Only in speaking truth will we be conformed to Jesus Christ. Only in speaking the truth will we honor the Holy Spirit. Only in speaking the truth will we express love to our neighbor. And only in speaking truth will we continue to build up the unity that we have together. Brothers and sisters, lying lips are an abomination to the Lord. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we hate our sin, but we confess that we don't hate it nearly enough. We abhor our sin, but we confess that we do not abhor it nearly enough. And so, Lord, as you have plainly revealed these things to us and laid them before our hearts, may each of us consider our own ways. May we guard carefully the words that we speak, remembering that out of the overflow of the heart, the mouth speaks. And may you so order our words in this coming week that we would glorify you, that we would exalt the truth, not only in what we think, not only in what we do, but in the very puffs of air that come from our mouths as we speak one to another. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.